awesome music I found recently by going to the record store. There's an old-fashioned idea. It's Radio Misterioso. Maybe I should play the intro for the normal people out there. Well, there aren't any listening right now. Not to this show. Here we go.
Greetings, my friend. We are all interested in the future, for that is where you and I are going to spend the rest of our lives. And remember, my friend, future events such as these will affect you in the future. You are interested in the unknown, the mysterious, the unexplainable. That is why you are here. And now, for the first time, we are bringing to you the full story of what happened on that fateful day. We are giving you all the evidence based only on the secret testimony of the miserable souls who survived this terrifying ordeal. The incidents, the places. My friend, we cannot keep this a secret any longer. Let us punish the guilty. Let us reward the innocent. My friend, can your heart stand the shocking facts about
Radio Misterioso.
Jesus, more people listening every week. I'm just checking the stats here. There's a few more than last week. That's good. Radio Misterioso here for December 8th. Yesterday was Pearl Harbor Day. Happy Pearl Harbor Day. From Radio Misterioso and Kill Radio. I'll be on here for a couple hours, and since I have no guests this week, I'm going to play a little music, take some calls. Maybe I take a call a little earlier. If you're sending me more than two emails a week, it's probably too much. Unless we're communicating about something. Let's see what I got on here for the last few weeks. I think I played some of this last week. What? I can't play that. I just rented Rushmore last night, or bought a copy of it for like $6 online. I hadn't seen that in a few years. That's a good film. It's one of, I think it's the first major Wes Anderson film. I think before that was Bottle Rocket, which was almost like an independent film. Jetstream by the Breakers. I'm sorry if you don't like surf music. I've never been surfing in my life, but I bought this collection of surf music. I know a couple of listeners like it. I know that Paul Kimball likes the surf music. By the way, Paul, do you still have my surf CDs you borrowed that one day? Do you still have those? Give me a call if you do. Oh, I didn't have anything queued up because I was looking for something here on the email. Watusi wedding? I wonder what that sounds like. It's good already. Rightly said he really hated that version, so here's the original first version.
We are not whole. We're pinheads all. Jocko Homo. Evo, are we not men? Evo.
Whoa!
Here's an old favorite. I heard this the other day. Oh, it's wonderful.
Drop kick me, Jesus, through the goalposts of life. End over end, neither left nor to right. Straight through the heart of the horizon's uprights. Drop kick me, Jesus, through the goalposts of life. Make me, oh, make me, Lord, more than I am. Make me a piece in your master game plan. Free from the earthly tempestion below. I've got the will, Lord, if you got the toe. Drop kick me, Jesus, to the goalposts of life. End over end, neither left nor to right. Straight through the heart of the righteous uprights. Drop kick me, Jesus, through the goalposts of life. Bring on the brothers who've gone on before, and all of the sisters who've knocked on your door. All the departed dear loved ones of mine, stick them up front in the offensive line. Drop kick me, Jesus, through the goalposts of life. End over end, neither left nor to right. Straight through the heart of them righteous uprights. Drop kick me, Jesus, through the goalposts of life.
A lowly bench warmer I'm contented to be, until the time when you have need. Flash on the big scoreboard that shines from on high, the big Super Bowl way up in the sky.
Drop kick me, Jesus, through the goalposts of life. End over end, neither left nor to right. Straight through the heart of them righteous uprights. Drop kick me, Jesus, through the goalposts of life. Yeah, drop kick me, Jesus.
Now you're looking at a man that's getting kinda mad. I had lots of luck, but it's all been bad. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. My fishing pole's broke, the creek is full of sand. My woman run away with another man. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. My distant uncle passed away and left me quite a batch. And I was living high until the fatal. A lawyer proved I wasn't born, I was only hatched. Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. Stepped on a worn-out dime, a
bet a nickel I could tell you if it was heads or tails. I'm not gonna worry wrinkles in my brow, 'cause nothing's ever gonna be all right no how. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive.
And one and two, and two and one. Aw, shucks, I can't dance.
I'm Johnny Cash.
I hear the train
An old favorite.
It was the night of the dance in the high school gym, when all at once something flashed and the lights grew dim. Then with a zoom and a zip in the room, through a ship, man by man, who was
were 2 feet ten, all singing.
Take me to your leader, cha cha cha. Take me to your leader, cha cha cha.
Each man was made of Band-Aid and a bobby pin. Electric bulbs blinking where eyeballs should have been. Strange were their hands made of red rubber bands, and they said, while their feet clicked a Martian beat. Hey, Earthling,
take me to your leader, cha cha cha. Take me to your leader, cha cha cha.
They sang, all the gang gathered round and clapped. You should have seen how their green wire elbows flapped. Then with some gum and a coke and a pink puff of smoke, they were gone, but their song lingered on. Hey, Earthling,
take me to your leader, cha-cha-cha. Take me to your leader, cha-cha-cha. Take me to your leader, cha-cha-cha. Take me to your leader, cha-cha-cha.
One day I was a-talking to a chimpanzee. I says, you'll be a hero if you listen to me. We're going to strap you in a missile, shoot you into space. Well, you should have seen the look on that monkey's face. I dressed our little hero in a Buck Rogers suit. The count was nearing zero, they was ready to shoot. The colonel saw the monkey and he hollers, what you got? I says, it was a ring-tailed astronaut. Colonel, he saluted, and the general did too. Said, blast that little critter off into the blue. But suddenly the monkey up and got away. He went looking for the SPCA. Across the launching pad, I chased that little squirt. He bit me on the finger when I says, it won't hurt. I knew what he would tell me if he could converse. He'd say, Columbus didn't send no monkey first. Finally got him cornered up in the nose cone, but he jumped out of the porthole, I was left there alone. As they fired me into orbit, I sure could see, the chimp had just made a monkey out of me.
Thank you. Yeah.
Hey, it's Radio Misterioso. That's Gray Prison Blues by Love and Spoonful from the What's Up Tiger Lily soundtrack. If you've never seen that film, it is very funny. Woody Allen basically did a... No, it wasn't really a Mystery Science Theater deal. He didn't make fun of the movie. He actually just replaced the soundtrack. And then later people started doing it live in theaters and stuff, and it became a craze. But this was 1966 or 7, something like that. And somehow, the Love and Spoonful, the band which brought you such hits as... what was their big hit? Does anybody know? Somebody text me that one. I don't even know. Let me do the back announce. The first up at the beginning of the hour was The Breakers with Jet Stream off a Surf CD that I purchased last week. The Warriors with Watusi Wedding. Touchtone Tuners did Jocko Homo. Then Devo with the original version of that. Arthur Broglie, B-R-O-G-L-I, yodeling and German version of It's a Small World. I've always liked that one. One of the favorite artists of famous abductee Travis Walton, I found out. He's a fan of Bobby Bear. He might even like that song, Dropkick Me Jesus. Actually, I think I played it for him, and he said, oh, yeah, Bobby Bear, I love him. So now we know that Travis Walton likes some weird music. Hank Williams, I'll Never Get Out of Here Alive. Tim Brigham requested Hank Williams. So I played that. Singing Sadie, I Can't Dance. Shuby Taylor with his version of Folsom Prison Blues, which is a favorite on the show. Rick Mastin with Missile Monkey. Two by a Japanese woman from the 60s, Mieko Horita, with, what's the first one? I can't even read it. Nagisa no Tenchi, I think that's it. And then, of course, a cover of Paperback Writer. That was a little, that's kind of easy to tell. Merva, probably a French yay girl from the 60s with her version of Laissez Tomber les Filles, which I've got about six versions of. I won't subject you to any more of those. Subject you, that's a good song. Maybe I will. And Love and Spoonful, The Great Prison Blues. It's Radio Misterioso. This week is not so much weird music. I guess there's some weird music in there, but music I just like. And I'll keep playing music. A few people wanted to call in if they want. 213-252-0998. This phone only lasts for about 45 minutes, and then the battery dies. So that's about as long as I'll be able to talk to you. Unless I can turn on Skype under Radio Misterioso, RadioMisterioso. If you request me on Skype under that name, we can probably Skype. Wow, what's Hunky Panky? I didn't want to hear Hunky Panky. I wanted to hear Senor Apache, Mr. Custer. Now, what could this sound like? It's from a Mexican band in the 60s. And we all know that song. Sounds good already.
Aquel famoso día se lanzó la caballería a una lucha cruel. Pero al llegar los indios desde atrás una voz temblorosa empezó a decir:
¿Qué hago yo aquí? No, señor Apache, no me pegue usted. No, señor Apache, pues me va a doler. Yo no quería venir, sabía que me iban a fundir, pero me dijo mi mamá: ándale, hijito, vete a luchar. No, señor Apache, no sé usted tan cruel.
Hey, ¿cuál será la palabra india para decir amigo? Sí.
Kimosabi, eso es. Kimosabi.
Óiganme, yo, Kimosabi.
No, esa no es. Señor Apache, ¿qué le parece si nos vemos mejor la próxima semana?
¡Ey, Pancho, agáchate!
Pobre tipo, eso le pasa por cabezón. Tan bonito copete.
Thank you.
todos en la lucha demostraban una gran fiereza y un gran valor. Todos menos uno que con voz temblorosa no dejaba de decir:
¿qué estoy haciendo yo aquí?
No, señor Apache, no vine a pelear. Oiga, señor Apache, vamos a pactar. Si usted quiere me puedo ir, pues tengo una cita a las 6 y no me gustaría llegar ni muerto ni rapado como usted me va a dejar. No, señor Apache, no sé usted es tan cruel.
Oiga, amigo, si no me deja en paz, yo soy muy bueno para matar indios salvajes.
Qué mal chiste, ¿verdad?
That's over then. Can we hear the... Whoa, that's feeding back a little bit. Let me pull the phone back and turn that down. Hey, Steph, can you hear me?
Yeah, so it sounds weird. Does that mean we're on the air?
Yes. Yeah, it does sound kind of weird. Yeah. Long-time listener and first-time caller. It's just Steph calling me from up north in California somewhere. Whoa.
Yeah, well, actually, we're right close to Mount Diablo. So
Oh, yeah. I think people...
Actually, I am right on the flight path to Buchanan Field.
I know about that. Yes, I've seen that. I've seen that on an on my sectional map.
Yeah, it's really funny because we're right over. You know, probably if you're like in a plane, it would probably take like maybe a minute or so to, before you were over our house till you were actually landing.
Yeah,
which is kind of funny because when I was first dating my husband here, I was over at his house one time, and this plane came in like really low. You know, just like not a biplane, but, like a prop plane.
Yeah.
And I was looking at it. It was so low, and it was going. I was like, dang, man, I hope there's an airport around here, because I didn't know. So luckily there was.
Yeah, well, sometimes people come in on their final approach way too low.
I
did that a couple weeks ago.
Very naughty, naughty. So have you been flying much by yourself now that you've got your pilot's license, or...?
I flew down to deliver a birthday present to a friend of mine. It's the wife of Don Newcomer, who was on my show once.
Oh, gosh, how fun.
Yeah, she, when we were in New Orleans with the Go Rightleys, they sent us, for my birthday and our anniversary, a bottle of champagne to our hotel room. I could not believe anybody would, nobody's ever done that for me, ever. So I thought, okay, I'll do
fun.
Yeah, I got to do something fun and nice. So I ordered a set of Oblique Strategies cards, the ones that Brian Eno made up in the early 70s. They're basically
you're kidding. It's like an exquisite corpse type of thing?
Well, they're more like, sort of. But they're more like divination cards where you can, if you're stuck on some creative project, you just draw a card at random, and it says things like, do the stupidest thing you can think possible, or don't worry about what people think, or, use your failures, or something like that. Anyway, I got a set of those, took them in the plane with me, and flew it down to their house in San Diego County. I landed at the airport like 3 miles from their house, delivered her birthday present, had lunch, and then got in the plane and left.
That's fantastic. So were you nervous about flying by yourself?
No, I wasn't nervous at all. However, my landing made me nervous because the first time I was landing, I bounced.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah, I'm glad nobody's in the plane with me because they would have peed themselves.
I almost did just listening to you talking about it.
So I was nervous and irritated with myself, and then I came around again, and I wasn't lined up at the runway right because of a crosswind, and then finally the third try I made it. Landed and all that. Taking off's easy. All you have to do is apply a lot of power and keep the plane pointed in the same direction.
That's good.
Yeah, landing's a little tougher.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad it went well. That feels like a really fun thing to do, you know, for a friend and everything. So.
Yeah. What? How did you start listening to the show?
Pardon?
How was it that you found out about this show?
You know, I can't remember. I mean, I've always been, like, super duper, like, irritatingly, obsessively interested in all things strange since the time I was very small.
Yeah, me too.
And then I had a near-death experience when I was around 20.
I said, wow.
Yeah, well, it was kind of before there was, you know, a lot of stuff about NDEs, and it wasn't like a typical, like, the tunnel and everything's nice and beautiful. It was more kind of like, if you ever read the Tibetan Book of the Dead, which I hadn't at the time.
Yeah, you know, Bardo's.
Like, very loud and dark and exciting. Anyway, so then after that, I started to actually experience a lot of the things that I've only read about before, so, which got me even more interested. But I can't remember exactly how I found out about your show. I know that I was always interested. I would, you know, search you every once in a while, because when I found out about your book, Project Beta.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I'd learned about it and was very interested in it many years before I was able to kind of read a copy. And I have to say, not to be like, you know, kissing your butt or anything, but it is like on my top 10 list of, you know, books people should read about the UFO topic.
Really? Oh, that's nice to hear.
Well, you know, it's like you actually did some research, and it's one aspect of things that people really need to take into account, and I don't know that they necessarily do. Anyway, so probably it was, you know, searching around something like that that, you know, got me to find out about your show.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But anyway, I always listen to me and my... Pardon?
Go ahead.
I'm going downstairs. My husband left the downstairs computer and left the sound turned on. Okay, now it's turned off.
Oh, were you getting echoes?
Yeah, when I was walking down the stairs.
Oh, okay. Anyway. That's why Art Bell used to say, turn down your radio, sir, a bunch of times.
Well, it was good. I turned it down upstairs, but not downstairs. Anyway, so I actually had like a quasi-para topic, if you're interested, tonight.
I'm always interested.
That's why I'm so happy I called. So anyway, I don't know if you remember, I was like months back, Nick Redford had a crypto book had come out, and you guys were discussing Sasquatches and Bigfoot and whether or not it was like a nuts and bolts, so to speak, type of creature, or whether it was more kind of paranormal.
Yeah.
Anyway, and then you guys started talking about a lot of the especially weird stuff, like the echolalia and how I was swearing and the throwing stones and sticks.
Yes.
And all that stuff. Well, I've kind of been on this kind of rant or theory, whichever you want to call it, for the last couple of years about how, to me, Sasquatch is sounding a lot more like a poltergeist.
Yes.
And one of the things that has interested me is that... you know, they start talking about how they make these little, stone cairns or kind of special arrangements of sticks and stuff like that.
Yeah, a la Blair Witch Project, yeah.
Exactly. You know, I've never actually seen that. Well, I wanted to tell you about the, I've had this book, it has my favorite title by Colin Wilson. It's Poltergeist, but with an exclamation point at the end.
Yeah, it sounds like a musical.
I know, Poltergeist, Steady and Destructive. Oh my God.
The most destructive, anyway, invisible musical you've ever seen. Yeah.
That's right, or didn't see, but
yeah.
Had a destructive influence anyway. So he's talking about, you know, all these like weird poltergeist cases, and there is this one case that is like especially strange. It's the Phelps case, and let me see, it is over here. And basically, the main thing that this poltergeist did was that, I think this guy was like a pastor. Oh, he's Reverend Phelps in Stratford, Connecticut. This was in 1850.
Yeah.
And so they would go to church and then come back, and they made like these kind of tableau of human dummies. Like the first one was kind of like a nightgown laid out with the hands crossed over his chest, kind of like a corpse.
Who
and,
did
like,
this?
Stockings and the poltergeist.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and then it got even more elaborate. They would, leave and then come back in just a couple of minutes, and there'd be, like, all these kind of, you know, I don't know if you ever did this when you were a kid, like, you take your nightgown and put a pillow in it and try and fool your parents.
Yes, all the time.
And exactly. Well, they'd come home, and they'd find these type of tableaux made up that way, like the whole family praying and stuff like that. And then later on, it started to do the more typical kind of poltergeist, like Knox and Raps and throwing stones and sticks and big crashing noises that you don't know what they're about. And then there was another one that had involved, she talks about in this book, I can't remember the name of it right now, but it was like the two young daughters over in England in the 70s. And, I forget the guy who...
Yeah, I should know that
anyway,
one.
I know. But anyway, they have... I believe it was that case, or the one that he talked about here at Pontefract. And, you know, a lot of poltergeists, they leave those kind of small pools of water on the floor.
Yes.
And this one was doing a thing where it would have these big wet footprints. Kind of through
yes,
the carpet.
I've heard about this. Yeah, I've heard about this case.
Yeah. And then you have these other instances in which people, you know, they see, there was one that he talks about in this Poltergeist book, Poltergeist the Musical, the gag case, D-A-G-G. I'm sure you could come up with, like, the perfect kind of a list of songs for that, too. Anyway, and the kids talked about seeing it. It looked like a couple points. At one point, it looked like a black dog. Another point, it looked like a... tall man with like a cow's head and cloven hooves. Huh. So you also get these kind of like big hairy critters. You know, people see something like a badger. Or then, of course, there's Jeff, you know, the talking mongoose.
Yes, that was one of my favorite cases when I was a kid, reading about that.
Oh, God, me too.
Yeah. Jeff, the talking mongoose, and it's British, so he spells it wrong too. G-E-O-F-F. So that made it even more exotic to me.
And yeah. So anyway, I just wanted to call in and talk a little bit about that because you know it's like the big crashing noises, and then now you're getting these people with these kind of what they call a habituation cases or stuff, and they always talk about how they're knocking on the walls, which is like classic poltergeist.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's my idea on that, which I wanted to.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of.
Nice to,
There's a lot of, as you probably have been thinking about discussing with people, there's so many paranormal aspects to the Bigfoot thing that it's hard to believe that it's simply just, if you believe that Bigfoot exists or something like it exists, that it's simply just a physical creature. If it's a physical creature, it's sure got a good control of people's psychology, the local area, you know, the local environment, and all kinds of things, because they do things that are not physically possible in a lot of cases. And then sometimes after people see them, just like with UFOs, they start having psychic and parapsychological effects in their lives.
Exactly. No, I think that's an excellent point. And the whole thing, you know, the ones that have been disappeared and they are ones that disappear. And it's also very, you know, telling to me that it's very like UFOs and that, you know, they'll be like very, they'll seem very, very physical for a time. But then they just leave these kind of ambiguous, you know, physical traces. You know, you never can find like the body or, you know. Which even things like, you know, well, like around here in the East and South Bay, we have mountain lions. And, you know, they're very, very rare to see.
Yeah.
But you do see the prints, you do get scat, and they are able to, you know, track them and dart them. And, you know, occasionally, sadly, you know, ones will, you know, be hit by a car or whatever. So So even something that's as cryptic as that, you know, still...
leaves traces.
Over a period of years.
Yeah, it leaves traces. You find dead ones occasionally. I was actually looking to see if people have found, you know, normal things in the forest. Dead deer, dead bears, dead anything. And although it's very hard to find a dead bear, apparently, I don't know why that is, they have been found. But nobody's found a dead Bigfoot, at least not anyone that's ever said anything about it.
So I don't know. So I'm leaning more and more towards that. So I thought I'd get it off my chest.
Yeah, me too. As you were talking about Poltergeist, I was looking at my audio collection. I do have a collection of voices, noises, channelings, etc., speaking in tongues called occulte Stimmen, which means hidden voices. Recordings of Unseen Intelligences, 1905 to 2007. And most of it's exceedingly boring. But, some of it, it's funny because, you got to sit there and listen. One of them I keep playing is a guy saying he's channeling somebody that died in World War II in Britain, in the Battle of Britain or something. It's great. It's very creepy sounding. Oh, it's wonderful. It's, what's it called?
I mean, it sounds good, but then I always feel terrible, people that died in those type of, circumstances.
Yeah, well, so. I don't know if the person's actually channeling the guy or not. I have no idea, but he exactly. sounds horribly... Wait, let's see if he... Yeah. Can I hear it on here?
I can hear you, yes. Tell us what happened. Tell us what happened. Fire. The plane caught fire and it crashed. Yes. Where did it crash? Do you remember?
It's pretty creepy. I love it.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah, I like that. It'd be interesting to you could play the highlights or something.
Yeah, it's like 2 minutes long. It's not very long.
Oh, no, yeah, that'd be good.
Okay, I'll play the whole thing. Then there's also apparently on here a recording of a cup being smashed by a poltergeist, which is wonderful. I mean, oh, here it is, Exploding Cup, 1995.
Perfect. We're having a theme. I love it.
Yeah, I had an exploding cup one time, and I experienced an exploding cup. It exploded in my hand.
What happened?
I was at my friend Robert Larson's house. He's one of the co-founders of Excluded Middle. And we were having beers. And I finished my beer, and I was going to get another. So I went to the kitchen sink, and I started washing the cup. And people immediately say, oh, you were washing it in hot water. No, I wasn't. I was actually washing it in cold water because I didn't want it to crack.
Yeah.
So I finished washing the cup. And I kind of turned it upside down. No, I just pulled it away from the water, I think. And as I'm standing there holding it over the sink in my hand, there's this loud popping noise, which I can hear. I can feel it in my hand. I can feel the concussion of the pop. And the cup just basically explodes into, 1,000 pieces. And pieces went flying so far, they went like 20 feet down the kitchen towards the laundry room. And there were pieces of glass embedded in my hand. I mean, I brushed them off. They didn't hurt me, but it's very startling and strange.
Yeah, that is really strange, because, I mean, I've done a lot of washing dishes, and, lots of times it'll just have, like, kind of a main fissure in the glass, and it'll just kind of drop because of gravity, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, usually you're not finding things all over the place, and it's not... in a bazillion pieces. It's usually like a couple of minutes. If it's something where, like you say, it's like a pressure change due to temperature change, that type of thing.
Yeah.
So
it is possible.
Like it was.
Yeah, it is possible. Some types of tempered glass will explode spontaneously because they're under some kind of stress anyway, and there's a possibility that the glass could have just finally failed while I was washing it. I don't know.
Strange though. Oh, guys, type it. It's like there's enough things to make you jumpy, to begin with. You don't need like exploding glasses.
Yeah.
Anyway. So, I don't know. That's about all I have to say. If you have other people that want to call in, I don't want to hog it. The only thing I want to do is say if you're listening live or listening later, hello to Red Pill Junkie because he's my favorite.
Yes, he
always has the facts at hand.
Yeah, he's very good at following up on stuff, looking stuff up. And though he's Hispanic, his written English is perfect. And I tried to get him on the show, and he goes, no, I can't. He writes me back and says, I can write English, but I can't speak it.
I've heard him on other shows on like Grammarica and stuff. He has a wonderful speaking voice.
Really? Okay, then he's lying to me. I gotta get back to him and see.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, we need to get his south of the border, Heine, on Radio Mysterio. So yeah.
Okay, well I'll write him again and say
Grammarica. Yeah.
Which show was he on?
I think I'm pretty sure it was Grammarica, Grimerica.
Okay. Or and, Grimerica, but I will write him and say, hey, why are you going on other shows? I asked you first.
That's right. Yeah, I know. Tell him I busted him.
Good.
Oh, and then the other question that I have just for everyone in general was, I'm wondering is how come we don't have like a database online at this point? How long has the internet been out there of just a bunch of UFO cases, even just like in Word, searchable Word format or something? So
actually I don't know of any. I haven't looked in a long time. There ought to be.
That'd
I
be
mean
fascinating.
I think MUFON and QFOS and Bufora or anybody else that's still around has enough cases, and I think MUFON was actually entering these all into a database, which we've talked about on the show, and I've talked to people about it, and we're saying, well, you know what, my opinion is about the only thing that you large UFO groups are good for anymore is gathering data, and taking some of that data as much as you possibly can, including subjective impressions of what's going on and how people felt and all that, that'd be great. But just the simple data about, time of day and date and shape and color and, even something as weird as the person's ethnic background or whatever, where they live, and putting that into a database and seeing and start running through different patterns and see what comes up. I bet something interesting or many interesting things would come up as a result of that.
No, because I've been, because to me it seems like, we have, like a ton of just, blatant data information, whatever. But it's like kind of a, there's like this hangover from the 50s that it's like, well, we got to make it into science, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, there's all these other disciplines, like history, philosophy, anthropology. And, if we're just going to put out, the flat data out there in like a searchable format, and then people could start looking at it from these different perspectives. I think, it's just, to me, I've read that like Carlo Ginzburg's work. I think it's fascinating in terms of you have unreliable narrators, and how do you deal with that information? So,
Go ahead.
Oh no, I was just going to say that it seems like that every time there's a big database, it just kind of gets siphoned off, like with Bigelow or whatever.
Yeah.
And we still haven't managed to kind of get that just a, even just a, stuff that's available in general in books or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's a time, so.
All right. I would like to get a database and just start searching it with stupid search terms like coffee or.
Exactly.
Or, gasoline or.
Ballet dancers. Yeah,
depression. Yeah, exactly. I don't know. Just any of these things and see what comes up.
Yep. I couldn't agree more. So anyway, so I'll get off the phone now. Oh, it's so nice to finally meet you. And I guess, anyway, on the phone.
Yes, same here. If I'm ever coming up to Northern California, I will. I think you emailed me. Yeah, I'll shoot you an email.
Yeah, definitely. You can we can meet over at whether it's Trader Joe's or a Starbucks by the
okay.
Buchanan Field. You can fly in.
All right. Yeah. As I start flying a little further, it's we'll see what happens. It becomes more expensive actually. If you're flying more than about a couple hundred miles, 200 or 300 miles, it starts to become a lot cheaper to take a passenger jet.
No, I can completely imagine because when I was growing up, I was growing up in Castro Valley here on the East Bay, and my next door neighbor was a plumber, and he had a small plane. And I always think of the nut tree because he was always like, oh, yeah, we're flying up to the nut tree for dinner. Why would anyone go to the nut tree in the first place? It was like bothering to fly. But anyway, so I knew a little bit more about what you're saying. It's just it adds up. So, okay. Oh, well, take care and have a great evening, and talk to you later.
All right. Thanks so much, Steph. Thanks for calling in.
Okay. Thank you, Greg. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, cool. We got a new person calling in. That was Steph from up there in Northern California. And, yeah, if anybody else wants to call in, 213-252-0998. I want to see what this breaking, what is it? The breaking glass or cup sounds like. Exploding cup, Charlton House, 1995. What does this sound like?
Watch.
I think they play it twice. Maybe slower.
Watch. What was that?
Cool. Again? No, it's just a bunch of silence. I think Steph wanted to hear the Jack Sutton Contacts Dead Airmen from the 1980s. It's only about 2 minutes. It's one of the creepiest things I ever heard, and I love it.
Save you, yes. Yes, we're here to save you. Tell us. I can hear you, yes. Tell us what happened. Tell us what happened. Fire? The plane caught fire? And it crashed? Yes. Where did it crash? Do you remember? Dear?
Near.
Near here? The church? Near the church?
Yes, yes, yes.
Yes.
Oh, all right, it's not that.
Dusty Miller.
Dusty Miller.
Pat Sullivan.
Yes.
Jerry Arnold.
You know, can you hear me? You know you've left the earth behind. In the plane you died. Do you remember that? Yes. But look up. Don't be afraid. Let go of the earth. Let go of the earth. You understand? You don't belong here. Yes. Look up. Ask for help. Upwards. And go towards the light. But you're holding yourself down. Tell that to Jerry, to Dusty, and to Pat Sullivan.
I get the feeling that, one, they're putting words in the guy's mouth, and two, the guy that's doing the guiding there is full of crap. But it's still a good, creepy voice. Real or not, I don't know. Here's Yodeling Ghost by Patsy Montana. Sort of continuing the theme a little bit.
Everybody in the valley has the strangest tale to tell. A story of a haunted house and a ghost they knew so well. If you pass by the haunted house there in the dead of night, you'd hear a woman's ghostly wail, but there was no ghost inside, for it was the yodeling, yodeling ghost. She'd yodel in the cellar, hooray, hooray, the attic and the hall, hooray, hooray. As she wandered through the haunted house, you could hear her lonesome call. The men folks all insisted that they could feel her fond embrace when they heard began to thunder, and you could hear her best of all. Holy Lady. The women were a jealous lot to burn the old house down. There's peace down in the valley now, and you'll never hear a sound of that honking, yodeling, tomping, yodeling ghost. No yodels from the cellar, no yodels from the halls. There's no haunted house to yodel in, and you'll hear no lonesome calls.
La 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 la. Soy mi namino yo do da no hoshini. Kikoeru amai koi no ano uta. Kakai futari no tokoro kakitateru. Shibireru yōna sūteki na rizumu koki rumba. Jōnetsu no hono ga kono mune ni uzumaite. Hajimete kawashita kuchizuke ni ai wo shiru. Watari no aki ni itsuka mune wa moe. Yasashiku itakarete ojoru yoi. Amai moka no kaori sono mama ni. Sare o wasureru suteki na rizumu koki rumba. Hajimete kawashita kuchizuke ni ai wo shiru. Dōi minami no yodora no hoshi ni. Kikoeru amai koi no ano uta. Wakai futari no kokoro kakitateru. Shibireru yōna suteki na rizumu koki rumba. La 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 la.
Usual places, and I'm living it like young. Then I dig me this face of all faces, she's the craziest like young. She drinks coffee at Cafe Espresso, she reads Kerouac like young. She goes where all the angry young men go, recites poetry like young. We start blowing the pad about 11, and we're homing it like now. We spin records on cloud number 7, and she's reaching me like wow. forgetting the kookiest notion. I think maybe it's like love. I've been feeling a crazy emotion. I think, baby, it's like love. Now we're riding the rainbow to Clownsville, and we're making it like young. Love, soft as April snow. And we're making it like young. Now we're riding the rainbow to Clydesville, and we're making it like young. Now we're riding the rainbow to Clydesville, and we're making it like young.
Well, I'm moving from the bright lights of the city to a place where the sun don't shine and it never will. A town where no one knows the population. I'm moving to a place called Lonelyville. The street lights there are black as the bottom of a coal mine, and the faces you see there will make you chill. The dark and lonely sidewalks of that city are waiting now for me in Lonelyville. This town's changed a lot since my love left here. Her love left my world so cold and still. So I'm moving to a place where no one knows me. A dark and lonely place called Lonelyville. And the street lights there are black as the bottom of a coal mine, and the faces you see there will make you chill. The dark and lonely sidewalks of that city, they're waiting now for me in Lonelyville. They're waiting now for me in Lonelyville.
Hey, I just wanted to find a song here. Let me just type it in. Because I just thought of something. It was my dad's birthday on Friday. My dad is 85 or 84. He still works. He still actually goes to work every day. Well, 5 days a week. At 84 and is doing what he loves. He's one of my heroes. And one of his favorite songs is Tennessee Ernie Ford doing 16 Tons. In fact, for his birthday one year, I found an original pressing of it, had it framed in a circular, with a circular mat around it, and gave it to him for his birthday, and he hung it in his office. I went to his office and he had it hanging there. Anyway, for my dad, whose 84th birthday was on Friday, here's 16 Tons by Tennessee Ernie Ford.
Some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. Saint Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store. I was born one morning when the sun didn't shine. I picked up my shovel and I walked to the mine. I loaded 16 tons of number 9 coal, and the straw boss said, well, bless my soul, you load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store. I was born one morning, it was drizzling rain. Fighting and trouble are my middle name. I was raised in the canebrake by an old mama lion. Can't know a high-toned woman make me walk the line. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store. If you see me coming, better step aside. A lot of men didn't, a lot of men died. One fist of iron, the other of steel. If the right one don't get you, then the left one will. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
Wow, it switched too quick. That's not what I wanted. How about this one? Another favorite of mine. Oh, and happy birthday, Dad.
Some people like to rock, some people like to roll, but me, I like to sit around to satisfy my soul. I like my women short, I like my women tall, and that's about the only thing I really dig at all. Well, man, well, I belong to the B generation. I don't let anything trouble my mind. I belong to the B generation, and everything's going just fine.
Weirdsville, yeah.
Some people say I'm lazy and my life's a wreck, but that stuff doesn't faze me. I get unemployment checks. I run around in sandals. I never ever shave. And that's the way I want to be when someone digs my grave.
Put a beat in the White House.
I belong to the B generation, yeah. I don't let anything trouble my mind.
Sneaky Pete, yeah.
I belong to the B generation, and everything's going just fine.
Back on the road.
I once knew a man who worked from 9 to 5. Just to pay his monthly bills was why he stayed alive. So keep your country cottage, your house and lawn so green. I just want a one-room pad where I can make the scene.
So out it's in.
I belong to the B generation. I don't let anything trouble my mind. I belong to the B generation, and everything's going just fine.
Oh, oh man, poetry and jazz there.
I belong to the B generation.
Yeah.
I don't let anything
man, that's my
trouble
story.
My mind. Hey.
Let's flip for the coffee house.
I belong to the B generation.
Man, we've made this seem long enough.
Burning holes in the eyes of Abraham Lincoln with a half-smoked cigarette. Baby said she'd meet me here about sundown, but she ain't showed up yet. The bar closes at 1 and it's a quarter till, and I'm a-setting here burning up a $5 bill. Burning holes in the eyes of Abraham Lincoln again. Sitting here drinking just me and Abe Lincoln, and I'm thinking, now be honest with me, Abe, do you think she's with another man?
licking till my eyes are burning too. I look into the smoke at them swinging doors that she ain't coming through. Bark comes that one and that's a quarter till, and I'm sitting here burning up about a bill.
Burning roads in the eyes of Abraham Lincoln again.
Oh,
Lope thinks he's dying for. Thank you.
I'd been driving for 4 days and four nights all alone. Through this old snow and up these old mountains just to get back home. And I remember calling on my CB all around, left and right. But I'm sure not a single voice ever heard me on this night. My old 18 wheels, all they were safely humming, soft and low. But then, just one turn, I guess it was covered with the snow. And all I ever heard was a 1,000-foot fall. And as I awoke, oh my God, I heard a stranger call. The night I talked to the Lord on my CB radio. Well, it must have been about 3 days later, an old man told me he'd heard a call. He said it come from over 50 miles away, nearly blew his speaker off the wall. And it told me how his soul was trembling when he heard the voice say, 15 miles just south of town, there's a good man. A trucking man, and his rig is down. The night I talked to the Lord on my CB radio. Because I talk to him.
Peter Gunn Cha-Cha by, who did that? The Embers. Hey, Bob isn't in here for at the show, so I don't know if he's coming in or what. Maybe I will back announce here, see if he comes in, play a couple more things, and then take off because I got to wake up tomorrow. I'm going to go help my friend Peter Stenzel, who's a who's a co-founder of the Excluded Middle magazine and a very good, kind and thoughtful friend for many, many years. I'm going to go help him out with some audio stuff tomorrow morning. So let's back announce from the beginning, well, after Stephanie called, Patsy Montana. Since we were talking about poltergeists and other paranormal things, I played Patsy Montana with Yodeling Ghost, The Peanuts with Coffee Rumba, Perry Como, Like Young. It's a few different versions of that. That's probably the smoothest version. Tennessee Ernie Ford with 16 Tons. That was for my dad for his birthday on Friday. Bob McFadden and D.O.R. Dor. What's the guy's name? I can't remember the name of the poet. But that was Beat Generation, one of my favorite songs ever. Carl Mann, Burning Holes in the Eyes of Abraham Lincoln. Connie Francis with He's Just a Scientist. Chang Xiao Ying with I Miss You Forever. It sounds like a bunch of like karate people in the background on that one. The Como Zoo Carousel. It was a carousel sometime in the 1970s. I found this on a website somewhere. A carousel at an amusement park that was breaking down, and nobody had ever bothered to fix the notes that were going out. So it just got worse and worse and worse and worse. And this this guy's dad, the guy who posted it or had the recordings, went down and asked the carnival operator if he could record the carousel as it, with its dying dying songs. So that was Moon River. Most pathetic version of Moon River I've ever heard, and I love it. Debbie Fagano, who plays, who's one of the people, or maybe the person that plays the steam calliope on the steamboat Natchez in New Orleans, did her version of Take Me Out to the Ball Game on the calliope. Derek and Patsy, Housewives Choice. My friend Louie was calling in, so I just let it play. Ed Bernay with The Night I Talked to the Lord on my CB radio. That just came up on my iPod the other day, and I thought, I got to play it on the show. And then on The Embers with Peter Gunn Cha-Cha. It's Right of Mysterioso. If you want to call in, maybe we can talk for a little bit longer. Otherwise, in about 3 months, the composer Ennio Morricone is going to be in Los Angeles directing a 200-piece orchestra playing music from his movies. I can't even believe I just said that, and I can't even believe that I got tickets to see it. But we're going to go, Sigrid and I and a couple friends of ours are going to go see this down at in downtown L.A. I don't know if he'll be playing anything like this, but or this. You know he's going to play this. He has to. Who's going to do the whistle solo? Let me let this play and see if anybody comes in. And if not, we'll transition to an old Radio Mysterioso, and I will see you next week, I believe. Guest suggestions, please email them to me at greg@radiomysterioso.com. And we'll see if we can get somebody. You know what? Vicky Ecker hasn't been on in a long time. Let me just have Vicky on. Maybe Don and Vicky, either by phone or in the studio, see what happens. Thanks for listening. Go.